Cardinals fall 27-0 to the Browns in Cleveland Sunday, their first shutout since 2018. Welcome into Morning Scramble presented by Verizon from the SeatGeek Studios alongside Jody Jackson and Zach Gershman. I'm Danny Sarek. It was ugly, no question about it. Cardinals offense couldn't generate anything, putting the defense in a difficult position. Jody, with a shutout that looked as bad as this one did, how can this team learn from it without crumbling confidence-wise?
Well, Danny, I mean, they're going to have to learn from it. And I'm sure the feeling was during the game and immediately after the game of a real lack of confidence and a real disappointment and frustration. But they have to quickly get past that. And, you know, for me, I have to admit, I was wrong about this game. I went in thinking optimistically maybe that this – I knew how good this defense was, but there were a few teams that had put up some points. And I just thought maybe they could establish a little bit of a run threat, which would set up play action, and that just didn't happen. None of that happened. It was a horrible game for the offensive line, and that really set the tone for this offense not really being able to do anything in this game.
I think when it comes down to how do you sustain kind of confidence as you go on to the next one, it's that this one was really rough. It can't get much worse than this right now. And you have that. You have to have that kind of that mentality of saying, like, all right, this one was rough. Let's sweep it under the rug, focus on to the next week, focus on to Atlanta. I mean, this was really challenging, and I think when it comes down to having a set plan, Myles Garrett could care less about what the Cardinals' plan is. They did their plan, and they executed it perfectly. So, obviously, it's a rough showing for the rookie in his first outing. You definitely didn't want to see that from him, but it can't get much worse, unfortunately.
Well, thank you for answering the question because, obviously, Danny, I blew right through it. I had to kind of let my feelings show on this Monday. But you're right. You have to throw it out. And the good news is, and going back to weapons, you may have more weapons this week. I believe they'll have Kyler Murray. I think they may have James Conner. The question is, with the O-line, how are they going to be with DJ Humphries and Will Hernandez having to leave this game? How banged up will they be? But, I mean, if Murray and Connor are back, that elevates the unit tremendously, Danny, going into this.
Absolutely. Cardinals might be ready to sweep this one under the rug. We're not. We're just getting started here on Morning Scramble. Arizona's offense finished with just 58 total net yards, averaging 1.2 yards per play, 1 for 12 on third downs, 3 turnovers. Rookie Clayton Tune got his first start as quarterback after Arizona traded Josh Dobbs to Minnesota last week. Jody, where do you begin the evaluation on Tune after a game like this?
It's hard. I mean, emotionally, you looked at this young man going into this game and being excited for him to get the opportunity, and that quickly waned because he really couldn't do anything. I mean, the numbers at the end of the day, 11 for 20, 58 yards. He had some yards on the ground as well. I mean, it was just difficult, though, for him to do anything because that defensive line, Cleveland defenders were in the backfield immediately, whether it was Tune on a pass play, whether it was a running back. So for Clayton Tune, you can't put this all on him. I'm not sure how much to put on him. I think that's what you have to figure out, and I'm sure the coaches are doing that because they do have to evaluate what he did. And as Jonathan Gannon said after the game, this is the NFL. This is how live football looks. It's much different than college. It's much different than the preseason. And so while I think there's not a lot you can take from the result, you can, I'm sure, watch that tape and just see how he reacted. I did love after the game how calm he still seemed, how poised he seemed in the middle of the fire, because there was nothing to put this fire out besides the clock winding down. And he, to me, he held his composure in this game.
He seems very even keeled just from the start. And DJ Humphrey said during the week ahead of this game, he said he just has that look about him. Like, he gave him that little, like, you know, he gave him that little look saying that that's what Clayton Tune kind of represents. And unfortunately, just the speed of the game, the opponents, they're in week 9. Clayton Tune's in week 1, essentially. He's trying to get out there and still get used to the speed of the game. So there's a lot of different challenges with that. The offensive line did not help. Trey McBride said the entire offense didn't really help their cause from the top down. So it's a little bit unfair, in a sense, to evaluate Clayton Tune because you saw the 20 attempts that he did have, and in a lot of cases, he was being pressured heavily. So you never want to really give him that, like, full evaluation, but it is the NFL. Next week, the record might not show for the Atlanta Falcons, but they're also a very good football team. Any of the 32 teams in the NFL are the best that the league has to offer. So it's not going to get much easier. The game might slow down for the rookie quarterback a little bit, but it doesn't mean that it's going to be much easier.
Cardinals possessions, 9 punts, 1 turnover on downs, multiple turnovers. Arizona's been relying on this run game. However, they were without their top 3 rushers. Amari DiMercato's out with a toe. James Conner missed his 4th game, being on IR with a knee injury. And their 3rd leading rusher was quarterback Josh Dobbs, who's not on the team anymore. It was Toon who led the team with 28 rushing yards. Not having that run game, not being able to really utilize the play action that Arizona has, Zach, that was noticeable.
It definitely was. And fortunately, with the running game, you add that balance to it. And the Cardinals were in the top of the league in the beginning half of the season when it came to the play action. And being able to utilize play action allows you to keep a defense on their toes a little bit. They don't know what's going to be coming, because you did have a quarterback that could scramble out of the pocket like Josh Dobbs. And also, got to give him some kudos. He had a great performance in Minnesota, and it was very nice to see him get that sort of love from his teammates out there, because we were able to see it here in Arizona, what he was able to do and the ability to get out of the pocket and use his legs. I think Jonathan Gannon hit on something important during the week that we did not see, and he said that he sometimes forgets the running ability that Clayton Toon has. And yes, he was the leading rusher with 28 yards, but I feel like there were some cases where the running game could have been a little bit more balanced by using Clayton Toon. Once, and if Kyler Murray does come back, you're going to definitely see that running back, that quarterback turn to running back, getting ready to get out of the pocket a little bit. But I think overall, it definitely did impact by not having Amari DiMercato, not having James Conner, because the running game just did not look balanced with the passing game.
Yeah, and I think in a way, I came away from this game more appreciative of what Josh Dobbs did for this team. And I know that shine came off of him, the luster came off the last few weeks. He didn't look very good in the passing game, but one thing he did was really use his legs really well when he was here and just operating the offense, I think. And, you know, I understand he's not Clayton Toon. He was drafted 6 years ago, so he's been around, but he still hadn't had that much experience. And so a credit to what he was able to do here. And, yeah, that was a great moment for him. But I think, you know, Clayton Toon just needs more time. And I don't know where he'll land as far as his rushing ability in this offense. But I do know that Keontae Ingram has not been productive. It's unfortunate. I don't really know if the coaches know what they can expect from him. And I know Amari DiMercato has become a pretty big part of this rushing attack. And you can rely on him to get yardage. And we know what we can get from James Conner. So I think that going forward, if you can get those guys back, you're in a better spot. But in this particular game, it was just a perfect storm of, you know, not having Dobbs, not having DiMercato, and not really getting a whole lot from the other guys.
Also missing wide receiver Michael Wilson, who was out with a shoulder injury. Multiple injuries aiding this offense, too. Not only needs time to get comfortable as a rookie, he also needed time in the pocket, which he did not have. Sacked 7 times. Yes, the Cardinals went up against the number 1 defense in the Cleveland Browns. Number 1 pretty much across the board, including first and third downs, passing and rushing yards. That was noticeable. Also in the passing game, Hollywood Brown led the team with 24 receiving yards. Non-existent.
Yeah, it really was. I mean, it was tough. Again, when you don't have balance and they know what's coming, and then Clayton Toon, he really could just get to about that first read and that was it. I mean, it was a lot for him to process, and I think that that's what he'll take from this is, yes, everything's happening lightning quick. If it's not the Browns, you know, another team might have been a little bit easier to deal with. There's no question about that. These guys were attacking because I don't think they felt like Clayton Toon could beat them. No disrespect to him as and the talent that he has, but just being a rookie, I think they felt confident that if they just harassed him, they were sure he wasn't going to beat the blitz or beat the rush or really, you know, do that again without the weapons. Michael Wilson being out did hurt as well. He had McBride, he had Marquise Brown, and it just wasn't enough. You have to be able to get the ball out. And again, in some ways, when you look back at this game, the fact that he completed 11 passes, I mean, that sounds pretty putrid when you look at an offensive output, and yet it seemed like it was hard to even get that done. And when you look at it as hard to complete 11 passes, Zach, that's not saying too much.
And a lot of those 11 passes were behind the line of scrimmage. There were a lot of screen routes, a lot of flat routes. There were not as many deep crossing routes that we've seen so far, and that's where Hollywood Brown has gotten a lot of his yardage throughout the season, has been on those crossing routes up the middle, or those slants, or those screen routes where the blocking has been stellar and he's been able to run upfield. With the amount of pressure that Clayton Tune had there in the backfield, he simply just was not able. He didn't have the time to get the ball out there, and I understand that a big part of it is going to rely on the offensive line and whether the status of DJ Humphries, Will Hernandez, whether that changes for this coming week, that's something that fans are definitely going to have to keep an eye on, because depending on who that quarterback is going to be, you want to have the best offensive line out there. And with some of your top guys out there that are injured right now, you're already missing Elijah Wilkinson, who's on injured reserve, and potentially Tristan Colon, who missed this past game, was injured in the previous one against the Ravens. It's not helping right now. The injury bug has definitely hurt the Cardinals from a defensive perspective. The offensive side, losing Michael Wilson definitely hurts, but that offensive line is something that fans are definitely going to have to keep an eye on.
Humphries and Hernandez both leaving the game with leg injuries late in the game Sunday. Of Arizona's 14 possessions, only two passed midfield. In their 27 to nothing loss to the Browns, Cardinals defense once again held their own. 7 tackles for loss, 5 quarterback hits. Cardinals defense did enough on their own. That's because the offense wasn't putting them any positions to be successful. They weren't getting much of a break because the Cardinals weren't getting first downs. They were putting the Browns in short field positions. Zach, what was the bright spot?
I think the bright spot is that I think there's a few different ones. I think in some cases it's that defensive line that has definitely been hit with the injury bug, as we've spoken about. They did a really solid job of getting to the backfield. Those 7 tackle for losses are really big. That they contained the rushing game. The Cleveland Browns have a really solid rushing game. Even after losing Nick Chubb in the beginning half of the season, Jerome Ford and Kareem Hunt did an incredible job back there so far in these previous couple games. I believe it was only 113 total rushing yards that the Cleveland Browns did have. So it's definitely a big I know that number, especially when you compare it to the Cardinals offense, that's very drastically different. But the defense did a really solid job of containing them. I think you got to look at a guy like Leckie Fotu. He had 5 tackles, 2 TFLs. Great job for him. Dante Stills, week after week, continues to progress. Obviously, you know the type of talent that Buda Baker is going to bring to the table. But I think the bright spot was something that Jalen Thompson said post-game. It was the fact that he said, it's on everybody still. Like, yes, the offense struggled, but it's on all of us. Could the defensive play had more plays to kept them in it? I'm sure when you look back on the film, you're going to watch a couple plays back and you're going to say, okay, that could have potentially happened. I mean, the deflection that Amari Cooper scored off of Dante Stills' helmet, and then it just lands into his arm. Like, unfortunately, there's plays like that if the ball was, you know, if Dante threw his arms up a half a second earlier, it's a completely different story. But I think that the bright spot is realizing that the defense still does have room to grow.
This defense, I give them a ton of credit. And I love Dante Stills and what he's been doing. You know, you mentioned a bunch of the guys also, Kaiser White, Josh Woods. You can go on and on. They're keeping this team in a game that they really had no business even being in offensively. And I understand the final score, they weren't in it, 27-0. But when you guys think about no turnovers, they didn't get any turnovers, but the offense gave it up 3 times. This game could have been 40-0. How was it not? The defense. The defense did all they could to kind of – and what I love about this defense is when they give up a play and they don't give up – they didn't give up a ton on the ground. They're kind of – I kind of call this group like that everyday group, that every down, that every day. They're just going to come and bring that same effort and stick to their process, because when they do give up a play, they seem unfazed and they don't get down. And I mean, there have been – if I'm going back now, I'm thinking about some moments earlier in the season where, they get a chunk play and then all of a sudden it's kind of like a snowball effect. But that hasn't happened a lot, to be honest with you. And so this group, and a lot of credit to how they've handled themselves. And guess what? They're going to need to handle themselves well this week, because I know it can be frustrating. I was listening to Paul Calvisi in the post-game radio broadcast and talking to Jonathan Ledbetter, who I thought was very diplomatic, you know, because look, it's very easy in these situations. It's not rocket science. This happens to a lot of teams throughout the year where one side of the ball is playing a lot better than the other side. And this game is a perfect example. And, you know, they've all taken the stance that, look, it's a team game. And they know that the offense is struggling. They don't really need to talk about it. And they certainly don't need to talk about it to the media. It's pretty clear. And you got to respect that, and you have to also respect the fact that they continue to go out there and do it despite some of the struggles. Now, granted, earlier in the season, both sides were really competitive, right? So this is sort of a new problem. And certainly this game is its own beast, its own animal. And hopefully we don't see it again. Hopefully we don't see anything like this again. But, yeah, this defense, hey, hang in there, guys. Keep bringing it. Lunch pail, all the cliches, every day, grind it out. I really love that about this team. And I think if they can just get some kind of an output on offense, you know, this group can shine a little more and have that energy to get some turnovers and have that energy to get more plays late in a game because they've been really worn down.
This is a better look of what this defense can truly look like. A lot of the injuries that the Cardinals defense was dealing with, those players have returned. Jalen Thompson and Buda Baker, Garrett Williams, who's playing safety, that trio has been really strong. Dante Stills, the rookie, has been filling in for injuries on the defensive line. I really liked Garrett Williams' performance again. Yeah. His third game this season. In third game of his career, huge pass breakup on third down.
It's that closeout speed that he has that he did get beat on the route, and then he closed out and he deflected that pass out of the way, which would have been a major explosive play that the Cleveland Browns would have had. So, I mean, I think from the top down, like, yes, this is the type of performance that you hope to see from the defense. As I mentioned prior, there are still things that you want to see twisted a little bit. I know that they did play well enough for the Cardinals to win if the offensive side of the ball was able to make some progress. But it didn't happen. And I think in some cases, Jonathan Gannon's going to say that 1 point was still 1 point too many on the defensive side of the ball. Like, yes, they did play well enough, but it still was a little bit too much that you gave him.
Yeah, I don't know if they played well enough to win. It's hard to say. You know, I think a lot of this hinged, again, pregame, when I had my rose-colored glasses on, guys. I said I was wrong about this one. I thought, hey, if Deshaun Watson is rusty, which I think he was a little bit rusty, he did nail a couple of downfield passes, and that's all they really needed. And then they got the luck on the first touchdown. So when you give up the ball three times and they don't give it up at all, I think this defense, you know, I don't know if they would have won the game had there been a little more offense, but again, I like the effort.
I think a little bit also has to go down to the time of possession. The Cleveland Browns had the ball for 36 minutes to the Cardinals 23 minutes. That's going to take a lot out of a defense, especially on that defensive line where you had so many hits on the injury side of the ball, or with injuries on that defensive side of the ball. You've struggled so far that year. And I know Kevin Strong and Jonathan Ledbetter said on that defensive line, those rotations, you want to try rotate as much as possible. When you're on the field for 36 and a half minutes, it definitely takes a lot out of the body, Danny.
You can see the culture of the fact that this team, this defense specifically, was not giving up. That fight is there. There are teams around the league where you will hear defenders talk about the fact that their offense wasn't doing anything and the defense itself was. You don't hear that in the locker room with the Cardinals. It truly is a team-first mindset. You can see that effort and that passion that they are playing, which stems from head coach Jonathan Gannon all the way down. Jody, let's go back to your turning point. We're going to go back to the second quarter. It's third and four on the Cardinals' own 31. They're down 10-0. I'm not sure there were many turning points to choose from in this game, so why was this the one you went with?
How did I get the turning point this week, guys? lucky me. Yeah, it was tough. When you're down and you don't see a lot of bright spots in the game, but this would have been one of them. This is Clayton Tune trying to complete what would have been the biggest play of the day to Rondell Moore, throwing a nice route, a nice pass. And can you believe that Hollywood Brown was called for offensive pass interference on a play where he didn't even touch anyone? There were two Browns defenders near him, and they kind of got tangled. I don't know what the ref was looking at. I don't know what he saw. But it wasn't Hollywood touching either of these guys. So it just was unfortunate and why is that a turning point, you may say? Well, because if they had completed that, at least to me, it provides a little bit of a shred of confidence for Tune, a shred of confidence to the wide receivers for, hey, you know, we can make a play. Maybe we can do this again. And it just was unfortunate. I mean, those things happen. And when you're making plays, you just brush it off. But when you're not making any plays, I just think it became really hard. And so that's the best I could do for my turning point this week, guys.
Out of Clayton's 20 pass attempts, only about two or three of them went above 10-plus yards in terms of the attempt of just trying to go downfield. That would have been one of them. And I think having that early on in the game, with it being the second quarter before you're going into half, you're trying to just get something going on the offensive side of the ball. So while I personally disagree with the call, I'm not the one wearing the stripes. I'm just here wearing the black Cardinals polo.
I don't think they can find me, so
we'll find out.
Jody's about to get a letter in the mail from the
NFL.
Jody's about to get a letter from the NFL, like officials association. No, but I think in a lot of cases, like it wasn't a very unfortunate penalty, but referees are going to make mistakes. There was a call on DJ Humphreys, a holding penalty of Myles Garrett, where he also did not really impact Myles Garrett. And we could talk all day long about questionable officiating calls, but that's not the purpose of this. Because as Jonathan Gannon said post-game, it doesn't matter. The call happened, and you got to just make the most of it. You got to do what you're able to do. But I think in terms of it being a turning point, it's unfortunate because you had some momentum. There was a glimmer of hope. Okay, yeah, we got a big-time play, and unfortunately it was taken off the board.
Cardinals finish with 40 penalty yards. Here's a question for the two of you, because we know that kicker Matt Prater has that leg. He has that power. The Cardinals are struggling to get to midfield. Zach, was there any surprise that they didn't put Prater out there to try and get some points on the board?
I mean, Matt Prater's got a leg, but I don't think he's got a 65-plus yard leg every single drive, essentially. I mean, there were so many cases where the Cardinals were not able to get downfield. And if you were pushing that 50-yard line a little bit more, 50, 55-plus, then I think, you know, you should be able to give it a shot a little bit. But I think with the direction that the game was going, when you're down and you need to put points on the board, yes, 3 points is good, but when you need to just you need to start chipping away a little bit more at the score. That's why I would say that the field goal was not in the game plan in that case. But I would be surprised if it wasn't even a conversation, because Matt Prater does have the ability to make those big-time kicks. We've seen it so far this year. He's one of the NFL's best when it comes to putting, like, he's in the top, I believe it's now 17. He's on the NFL career all-time point list. So he's one of the best that the game has ever had to offer. But I think in a lot of cases with this game, it did not seem to be going that way.
And you had the rare good weather, right? So, I mean, but it's still weather. And I feel like a lot of times those decisions, it's like if it's not a dome, if it's not a zero condition type of environment, for whatever reason, they don't try that. But I think both the leg of Prater and Blake Gillikin, who kicked over 460 yards worth of punts, unfortunately, and I'm not even being funny here, I'm being real, you know, that was the ball was moving yesterday because just the offense couldn't get anything done.
But Blake did a great job of switching the field a lot of cases. I believe he had 2 of his 9 punts were inside the 20. And when you're so far back in your own zone, you're just trying to flip the field, I think Blake Gillikin did a really good job. There were a lot of cases where the Cleveland Browns were able to return a couple kicks for, 10-plus yards at some points, and you want to be able to limit that. But Joey Blunt has done a really good job doing whatever he can of stopping them. I know he had that one celebration where he kicked in the door. And I think that was a really solid job. Blake Gillikin has been really solid so far this year. It's just been that net return that has kind of hurt his average.
Cardinal special teams has consistently showed up week after week. Let's pull out the whiteboards for songbirds.
Okie dokie.
I felt this one was a little difficult to find a song that embodied how I was feeling watching the game. Not gonna lie,
I was trying to not really be in my emotions after the game, and I mean, again, Danny, the drawing, is that going to inspire us?
I don't know if inspire is the right word. There is a drawing that I'm doing right now.
All right.
Oh, it's not good.
I'm doing it.
Okay, Jody, we'll have you
Danny,
go first.
We needed you to perform here today. Give us
I'm
some
trying
hope.
My best. My best is just not good.
All right, well, I know this song is about a journey of, like, going upward, but I'm going with Started From the Bottom, Drake, because I just felt like it was rock bottom for the offense. At least I certainly hope that it is. And it's only going to go up from here, guys. And, it's just when you're at the bottom, it's an awful feeling. It's a lot of frustration, but hopefully they can grow and learn from that. And, Clayton Tune, I'm sure he'd love to get another chance in there. But if Kyler Murray's playing this week, which we of course don't know for sure, but, he'll wait his turn. But it felt like the bottom for me. And so I don't know where they're going to climb to out of this, but I'm confident they're going to come out of it a little bit. And, certainly this week against Atlanta, rise to the occasion and put forth a better effort.
I think Jody's point there at the end is exactly why I decided to go with On to the Next One by JC. Because I think this is one of those games, as I previously mentioned, you kind of want to just sweep it under the rug and you want to just continue going on and start looking towards Atlanta, because this was a really rough showing. And there was a Drake song I thought of, Hours in Silence. And I think in a lot of cases, the offense, they were pretty quiet. Mm-hmm. That's where the silence kind of stems from. But On to the Next One, because this team has kind of gone into it saying, you know what, we got to be able to improve. It might not translate to wins, but we want to see, it's a production-based business. But the best opportunity is for this, because it's On to the Next One, and you have Atlanta coming in next. So that's why I kind of selected this song. And shout out Jay-Z.
You're looking ahead to the next game. I'm still looking behind at this 27-0 shutout. I went with I'm Not Moving by Phil Collins, so I drew a little stop sign. This was what the offense was doing, which was nothing. They were not able to move the ball. Wasn't strictly on the rookie quarterback, Clayton Tune. The blocking was not up to par. The receivers were not finding good routes. It was just a collective effort where the Cardinals did not perform. They did not look like the team that we have seen. Now, could that all change this week? Ooh. As quarterback Kyler Murray's deadline is quickly approaching, November 8th, this Wednesday. Arizona has to decide to either activate Murray to the roster or put him on PUP for the rest of the year, which is not what we're expecting from what we have heard from the coaching staff and seeing Kyler Murray out of practice. Jody, what's a realistic, immediate impact for Murray when he steps back onto the field?
I mean, I think, you know, he appears to be healthy. And we know what kind of talent he has. We know the arm that he has. We know the connection that he has with a number of these guys, including Hollywood Brown. You know, yeah, of course, he's going to need some blocking. He's going to need the system to function, and he's a big part of that. And I think the other reason that they've waited this long is not just because, you know, they want every indication that he's fully healthy, but I think they're asking him to do, again, this is a whole new offense. This is something he hasn't been asked to do before. And so, like all the other players on this team that have had training camp and all of it, you know, he needs that kind of a runway to get here. So I think, you know, and guys, it's a how much of a blessing is this from an interest standpoint? And, you know, when I say interest, I mean, we're all locked into whatever's going on. But I think for the fans, I mean, let's face it, you come off a performance like this, where do you turn? What do you look for? Well, frankly, there's a lot of excitement now, I think, to see what Kyler Murray's going to be able to bring and to see what this coaching staff can do to help him get to another level. So I guess the biggest question for me is how much will he use his legs coming off the injury? I mean, clearly he'll still be able to run. I mean, the question is going to be, you know, I fully expect with the way that guys come back from these injuries now that he can still be, you know, as electric as he was before. I don't know that we necessarily need to see that out of the gate day one here, but I know one thing about it is that Kyler Murray, you know, one thing you can't take away from him is he can make plays down the field. And, you know, if they can get that offensive line back in shape, back on the same page, and blocking the Atlanta Falcons, you know, there are some plays to be made downfield, and that's something we really haven't seen consistently at all season long.
K1's been chomping at the bit, as we know. He said, Jonathan Gannon came to the media last week and said, Kyler's told me a bunch of different times that he's ready to play. And I know there's a lot that goes into it from a health perspective, from a mental perspective, from a physical perspective. Drew Petzing hit on something that I think not a lot of fans are considering, and I honestly wasn't even considering it until he mentioned it. He said Kyler's basically going through his own training camp right now. Mm-hmm. And technically, he's on July 28th when you think about it. And it's not like we're expecting him to go into Atlanta and play one series, like a preseason game. You expect him to play the full 60 minutes out there if he is going to be activated, if he is going to be selected as a starter. When it comes to the realistic expectations, I think the only expectation you could go into this is saying that he's playing in a system where he could excel in. We've seen throughout the year, throughout the beginning half of the season, the way that Josh Dobbs performed and knowing the type of running ability that, as we previously spoken about, that Josh Dobbs brings to the table, it's not the video game-like speed that Kyler Murray brings. But you were able to see that Josh Dobbs did have some success doing it. Knowing that Dobbs had some success, you could only begin to imagine the type of success that Kyler Murray is going to have. But we could just only speculate that. To actually see it come into play, to see it once it is, once he does play against Atlanta, if he were to play against Atlanta or any other game throughout the season, That's what you want to be able to see, is that he could jump into that offense and make some magic with his feet, because Murray magic has been a thing throughout all these previous years. You want to be able to see it come back to State Farm Stadium.
From what we've seen in practice, Murray is still zipping it.
Oh,
it doesn't look like he has any sort of hindrance on that right knee. He's not wearing a knee brace. It would be a huge boost of energy and confidence for this Cardinals team to get their franchise quarterback back. I think that it's also realistic to expect that the parts that are new for this, for Kyler Murray, first time in his career playing under center, more play action. I would expect that those paired with design runs will probably be limited in his first game back. And then as the weeks progress, you can see that kind of be integrated more into the playbook. Get him comfortable.
He doesn't have the same sort of relationship that he had with Cliff. That's just point blank. That's the facts behind it. And I think with Drew Petzing, yes, he's been on the sidelines. He's been speaking with Drew Petzing. He's been very actively involved in these meetings, which is great and all. But once you are right under Yelda Froholt and you're under center, you got to be able to execute. And that is going to be a little bit of an adjustment. And I hope that fans are a little bit patient with that, because this is a first-time play caller with a franchise quarterback at that. So they've gone into it expecting and hoping for Kyler Murray to return. Now that the countdown's starting to tick, and it's starting to get a lot closer. So I think that there's going to need to be some patience involved, but there's a lot of hope in the air.
Yeah, and I think that's what we're so excited to see, right? Because Kyler Murray has run really one type of offense most of his career, and so this is a big change. Again, that's why we are where we are and why this has taken so long. I think he was probably physically ready to play sooner than just everything coming together. And, you know, going back to Josh Dobbs, I think the one thing we can look at is, look, he came in and he did a pretty good job of operating this offense. He wasn't the kind of pass thrower or as accurate as we have seen Kyler Murray be. And like you said, Zach, he doesn't have that speed, but he moved pretty well. And so I think if anything you can take from those first few weeks, it's the way that he operated in it. And if you're Kyler, he saw that, and he saw, you know, okay, what's working, what's not working. Obviously, what happened this past week is not going to be something to be able to look back and channel anything, right? You want to flush that. But I love that it did work. It worked for the first few weeks, even in the losses, in the win against the Cowboys. And I think that, you know, and then Kyler has his own relationship with Drew Petzing, of course. So I think we're excited to see how it's going to come. Again, we're hoping to get that word and, you know, hopefully have the guys be able to speak about it. Although I guess they could, you know, gamesmanship all comes into play here. You don't know if they're going to make that announcement. So I don't know how much during the week we're going to get a sense of that, even from Drew Petzing himself. But we look forward to seeing it.
I'm sure it will be asked many times, including in head coach Jonathan Gannon's press conference later this afternoon, which you can check out on azcardinals.com. Again, it's a Wednesday, November 8th deadline for some sort of move to be made with quarterback Kyler Murray. Cardinals are back home next week at State Farm Stadium, where they will host the Atlanta Falcons at 2:05. We'll have more coverage on azcardinals.com leading up to that matchup. And Morning Scramble will be right back here next Monday, 10 a.m. to talk all about it. For Jody Jackson and Zach Gershman, I'm Danny Sirak. Thanks so much for joining us here on Morning Scramble.